Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TryTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Welcome back to In the Huddle here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Your boy Q here filling in for Vinny Bonsignor. Right now, pleased to have on the phone line Hall of Famer, wide receiver from the Silver and Black, the Raiders, that is wide receiver Tim Brown. And Tim, thank you so much for your time. We definitely appreciate you. We're getting excited about the battle for Vegas. Of course, it's going to be the Raiders, Team Marcus Allen, versus the Golden Knights, Team Riley Smith. How excited and pumped up are you to compete in this event on Saturday?
Man, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to playing like deep, right way back there by the fence. So that's where I'm going to be. So make sure no balls come at me too hard. But it should be fun. Looking forward to it.
You know, we had Marcus Allen on, and of course, he's the team captain. We had him on Monday, and he was saying that he was ready for you. He said he was really good at baseball, and he said, I don't know. I know Tim's very competitive. So as far as the softball game goes, how competitive are you, especially when it comes to being at bat?
Hey, look, I'm going to be as competitive as my hamstrings allow me to be. So let's just keep it real. I am looking forward to it. It should be a fun event. So hopefully it's not 120 degrees there. So we'll be able to get through it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And the good thing is it's at night. The Las Vegas ballpark is a lot of fun. It's a great venue, so I'm sure you'll have a lot of fun there. But, I mean, just – The Raiders are in the community here in Las Vegas. They've been very active in being in the community, and this is another one of those events. How important is it for this team, the Silver and Black, to be very, you know, busy in the community?
Well, you know, it's really, and I'm going to say this in a positive way, it's really unlike the Raiders for the most part. You know, I think when I first got there in L.A., it wasn't something that was high on the list. And even when we moved back to Oakland, there was so much animosity between the city and Mr. Davis at the time that it was tough to really get things done. I mean, I was doing things in the community, but it really wasn't. The Raiders did have a golf tournament that they did up there, but you know, I think once they got to Vegas, it's sort of like the all the pressure has been released, man, and they feel as if they can go and really be the organization that they've always wanted to be. And so seeing them doing some of the things that they've done is just really incredible. And you know, really, that's what they should be doing, right? They have the means to get it done, and they have the people to get it done. So I'm very happy about everything that's going on.
Absolutely. Talking right now with Hall of Fame wide receiver Tim Brown here on Raider Nation Radio 920. And, Tim, I mentioned the Hall of Fame a couple times. You have the gold jacket. It took a little bit longer than you would like, than a lot of Raider Nation expected it to take for you to get that gold jacket. But now Coach Tom Flores, Charles Woodson, Wayne Mabry, the Violator, all going into the Hall of Fame this upcoming year. How special is that, especially for Coach Tom Flores, who's waited a very long time to get in there?
Yeah, you know, it's great, man, to see Coach get in. And obviously everybody knew that Wood was going to be a first ballot guy. You know, Wayne Mabry, you know, having him go in is obviously just great for Raider Nation, man. I think Raider Nation has always been recognized as being one of the, you know, the greatest fan bases out there. And this sort of solidifies that. But, yeah, you know, look, I mean, we've had a couple situations where, you know, Cliff is going to get in, no doubt about that, but he's not here. And the unfortunate thing to happen, you know, with Stabler, you know, a few years back, you know, where he goes in and, you know, so all those kind of things, man, you know, you want guys to get in, but you want them to be able to see it and be able to accept those roses, man. So I'm happy for Coach Flores. I thought, he ain't about to die or nothing, y'all. I'm not trying to say that. But, I'm just happy, man, that he'll get the opportunity to stand in front of that crowd and receive that ovation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I totally understand what you're saying, because, I mean, again, you waited longer than you should have had to get into the Hall of Fame. And I know that's frustrating. I talked to you many times on Radio Row at the Super Bowl, and I could see the frustration and then the relief once you finally got in. As you were preparing to set up for your speech for the Hall of Fame, what goes through your mind when you're trying to put all those words together in your mind as you prepare for the Hall of Fame?
You know, for me, I just wanted to tell a story, you know, of my journey and how I got to where I was standing at that particular moment. It may have taken me a few minutes longer than what I anticipated it taking me, you really want to get the story over. And I don't think my story was just about football. You know, I really think it was about the people that I had the fortune of meeting and being able to work with. And especially coaches like Coach Holtz and Gruden, you know, really, they really changed the way I played the game. You know what I mean? So I think from that standpoint, I was very fortunate. Otherwise, I think I would have just been a great athlete in the league, not really accomplishing anything, you know. But what Coach Holtz did at Notre Dame led me to win the Heisman, and what Gruden did when he got to the Raiders led me to be in the Hall of Fame.
And, you know, last time we talked, we were talking about a former first-round wide receiver in Amari Cooper. He had just been traded to the Dallas Cowboys. Now the Raiders have another first-round wide receiver in Henry Ruggs. He had his rookie year last year. It was kind of a weird year for everyone across the league, but not the production that Henry Ruggs was expecting, not the production that the Raider Nation was expecting. How does Henry Ruggs, in your opinion, take that next step? What does he have to do this offseason and in training camp to be able to kind of solidify his spot as being the number 12 overall pick?
Well, look, and this is no excuse for Henry Ruggs. I'm sure he'll tell you that, you know, there may have been a couple plays he could have done better, whatever. But knowing that offense as well as I do, I can't imagine being a rookie coming into the league. And guess what? You don't even have a chance to do mini camp in a real training camp because of a pandemic that's going on. So basically, we just go stick you out on the field and say, go do it, man. Mm-hmm. It's really, really unfair to judge him off of what happened last year. I actually think he played, you know, very good football, a decent football for sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this year you have, you know, full training camp. You're going to have full training camp. You have mini camps and all that stuff. You're going to see a different guy because now, you know, he's not going to be guessing about what he has to do. He's going to know what he's supposed to do. He may have known at first it's man-to-man, but not, you know, not cover four, not three, not right. Two. You know, it's hard to know all those things, man, if you're not being taught. So, I think from that standpoint, I think we all are going to be waiting to see, but I'm sure we're going to see a guy more explosive than he was last year and more sure about everything that he's doing in the football field.
Talking to the Hall of Famer Tim Brown right now on Raider Nation Radio 920. Got the Battle for Vegas coming up on Saturday at Las Vegas Baseball Ballpark, and we'll give out some tickets to that a little bit later on in the show. And Tim, as far as John Gruden's offense, a lot of folks talk about it and say, and you even mentioned, like, knowing the offense as well you do, it's hard for a rookie. What do you feel was the biggest hurdle to get over to understand what Coach Gruden is trying to do out there on the field?
Well, you know, the biggest hurdle is you have to take yourself out of the play and just do what the play wants you to do. And don't try to add an extra to it. Until you get the ball in your hands, don't add any extra to the play. And that was a very difficult thing we were 31, 32, 33 when he got there. And, you know, Jerry came over and, you know, Jerry was 36, 37. You know, it was hard to make that adjustment because, you know, so many times in years past, if you didn't adjust that play some kind of way, it wasn't going to work.
Right.
But in Gruden's offense, you don't have to adjust it. I mean, you know, the way he lines things up, man, it's like five on a dot, right? And in some kind of way, you're going to get that. So if everybody gets to their spots, then the quarterback will have somebody to throw the ball to. So, and it took a lot to learn that, man. It really did. And but once you learn that, man, once you – hey, Tim – be there. Don't slide. Don't move. Just be there. Because if you're not open, the guy behind you is going to be open. And those are things, man, that take a lot of discipline to make happen. And we were older guys. We were veteran guys in the league.
Right.
We're dealing with a lot of young guys now, man. So I think from that standpoint, you know, hopefully it'll start to kick in.
One guy who's very dynamic, and he's not technically a wide receiver, but a tight end, Darren Waller, he's actually going to be on your team, on Team Marcus Allen on Saturday. I mean, this is a dynamic dude, one of the best tight ends in the league, really a wide receiver in a tight end's body. What are your thoughts on him, and how big of a playmaker he's become?
Man, I tell you what, man, it's really amazing what this kid is doing on the field, man. And, you know, if I'm Edwards, man, I am lynching onto his coattails, man, and I am trying to make this thing happen for myself by, just playing off of him. You know, if he had a number two right now that was solid, man, that offense would be unbelievable. So it can't be a combination of Edwards and Ruggs. One of these guys really have to step up and show themselves as being, you know, the number two to him. And it's going to benefit them.
Right.
You know, because he's going to open up so much for you with his ability to stretch the field and do the things that he does that, man, if these guys can step up and be consistent and you know, teams watch films in fours, right? You watch four games. So you'd have to be consistent for four games before the team is really going to take you serious.
Yeah.
And you have a great game here, then you don't do anything for 2 weeks. You know, they just count it as what it is. You have one great game, and that was it. So, look, you know, you never want to go ahead and say, I want to be the number two. But when you have a guy like Waller, you're going to be the number two in that offense. That's just all it is to it when it comes to the passing game.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you brought up Bryan Edwards. That was a guy that I wanted to ask you about, third-round pick out of South Carolina, and because of injuries, really could have been drafted a lot higher, and he didn't get a lot of action in 2020, but he did get one touchdown catch at the end of the season, week 17, and I'll tell you, Tim, I saw him catch the ball with his hands like vice grips. He's got the speed. He's got the size. He runs violent. How good and dangerous can he be if he can just kind of put it all together?
Man, I'm telling you, man, when I first saw him play, I was like, who is this kid and where did he come from? You know what I mean? I mean, this is the kind of kid that can really change an offense for you because he may not be a burner, but if he can run those five-yard slants and run those, you know, those 12, 15-yard in routes and open up things over the top, you know, make that safety have to think about him over the middle, and now we can get Ruggs over the top or even Waller over the top. It's a beautiful thing, man. Take it from me. I know. It works.
I know that's right.
you just have to be consistent, man. That's the name of the game. If they can just find a way to make this thing happen for a few weeks in a row, it'll change the whole dynamic of the offense because people will start playing them different because they know they have to look at more than one guy.
Absolutely. We're talking right now with Tim Brown, Hall of Famer Tim Brown here on Raider Nation Radio 920. And just got a couple more questions for you. I wanted to ask you, I talked about the fraternity that is the Hall of Fame, and that's special. But being a member of the Silver and Black and being once a Raider, always a Raider. We just saw Mark Bedain. He resigned yesterday. But, you know, the tagline, always once a Raider, always a Raider. What does that mean to you?
Well, it means everything, man. You know, I think for years in the league, we were, you know, not respected. We felt like, you know, it felt like the league was up against us, the referees was up against us. You just feel like, man, you always having to fight a little extra harder to get a win, you know. So, you know, I think from that standpoint is where that family atmosphere is really born because, I mean, you have to lock it in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we saw the touch game. We saw...
Yeah.
You know, even what happened in the AFC Championship game in 2000, where it was a legal hit on Gannon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could have—he was gone no matter what. But we should have at least got a penalty after the deal. We couldn't even get that. So,
right.
You know, it's just one thing after another that you have to deal with, man. So there's a bond that's there that's different, man. You know, look, I'm around Cowboys all the time. I'm around 49ers all the time. They don't talk like that, and they've won multiple championships. You
right.
Know? So.
Right.
It's just a really different thing, man. It's probably because of, like I said, all the, you know, all the negativity we have to deal with. But at the same time, you know, you got a lot of buddies, man, for the rest of your life, and that's a beautiful thing.
Right, absolutely. And you mentioned the Tuck Rule game, and that's one that always is going to be just a what if. But Tim, I always say that so much of football history changed because of the outcome of that game and the way that that game shook out. I mean, just the organization with the Raiders, how much different do you think history would have been if that game hadn't been called so poorly?
Man, you know, it's hard to say, right? Because I don't think Gruden leaves.
Right.
You know, I don't think that happens. So he can't win a championship for Tampa Bay
right.
if he's with the Raiders.
Right.
So, you know, those are the kind of things that drive you crazy. But at the same time, you just look back on them and go, well, my God must have had something in plan. Something planned, because I don't know what it is, and he hasn't rebuilt it 20 years later.
Right.
But, you know, it really doesn't make sense how all that shook out, man. But at the same time, you know, it is what it is, bud.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, I got to get back to the Battle for Vegas real quick before we let you go. Of course, it's going down on Saturday, Las Vegas Ballpark. It's a fantastic venue. You got a lot of really good teammates. I mean, from Max Crosby to Josh Jacobs, Darren Waller, you got Damon Arnett. I mean, the list goes on and on. And, of course, team Marcus Allen, you're on the squad as well. Is there one guy in particular that you think is going to really stand out for team Marcus Allen and really help get the Raiders over the top in this one?
Well, look, it has to be Darren Waller. I mean, can you imagine him hitting a ball and running around the bases? I mean, this should be freaky stuff, man. But Josh Jacobs, too, though, because he's low to the ground, man, and he's turning them corners. So, yeah, this is going to be fun stuff.
Yeah, Marcus said that he thinks he's going to lead off Josh Jacobs, have him lead off as the, you know, the lead off.
Yes, that's smart.
He'll be the Ricky Henderson of the team. All right, Tim, before I let you go, I know that you come through clutch, man. You came through clutch with so many catches throughout the course of your career, of punt returns, everything. I mean, you did it big in college and the NFL. Give me your best. What's up, Raider Nation? This is Hall of Famer Tim Brown. You're listening to Raider Nation Radio 920.
What's up, Raider Nation? This is Hall of Famer Tim Brown, and you listen to Raider Nation 920.
There you go. There it is. Like, I'll just tell you, bragging rights, I'll tell you, you did better than Marcus Allen did. Marcus had to take two or three takes. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you. We appreciate it so much, and we'll see you on Saturday. Good luck at the game.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
All right. Thank you so much, Tim. Appreciate it. There he goes. Tim Brown, Hall of Famer. We have Marcus Allen on Monday, touchdown Tim Brown on Tuesday. That's how we get down. Lots of fun right there with Tim Brown. Just kind of, we could have talked to him just like we talked to Marcus Allen. Could have talked to him 15, 20 more minutes, but getting that time with Tim Brown was really, really good stuff. So thanks to Tim Brown and all his people to make that happen. This is Raider Nation Radio 920.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Welcome back to In the Huddle here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Your boy Q holding it down for Vinny Bonsignor. He'll be back from vacation next week. I'll start my show from 2 to 4 p.m. Unnecessary Roughness right here on these very airwaves. Again, Raider Nation Radio 920 coming up at 5:30. Faven K, Fox 5 News this morning. She'll join us to talk about being a Raider fan, being excited about this upcoming season, what she's looking forward to, getting to the stadium, all that good stuff. She does a great job on Fox 5 in the morning, so she's going to join us to talk all things Raider Nation related. So before we get to her, though, we do want to go out to the Raider Nation listener line at 702-365-9200, and let's go to Dana in Boca Raton. Tone, you're on In the Huddle. What's on your mind this day?
What's going on, Q? Are you pinching yourself, bro?
Oh, man, a few times here and there, you know, a little something,
something. Dude, you got Marcus Allen and Tim Brown in back-to-back days. Dude, couldn't be happier for you, bro.
Thank you.
So you had a question on your podcast, I think, who was the greatest Raider. I'd have to say, for me, it's Timmy, because out of all the greats, I mean, he stayed with them the whole time. And if I ever got a chance to sit down with one, I want to take me to the top. I want to sit down with Gruden and eat, like, so many wings that he can never get up. I can ask him everything I wanted to know.
Right.
But that conversation was just fantastic. You know, dealing with, you know, everybody wants to say that Gruden's championship with the Bucks was tainted. But, you know, I mean, the raw deal that the Raiders get year after year after year. I mean, he could have gotten to the Super Bowl a couple times with the Raiders if it wasn't for the refs. And who would have known what would happen if he hadn't gotten traded? And what he had to say about Ruggs, you know, a couple years ago when Mike Mayock did his end-of-the-year press conference, you know, we don't hear from Mayock the whole year, and then he makes that, like, press conference end of the year, and it was when he had nobody to throw to. I'm talking about Derek Carr had nobody. Zay Jones, half the year. And he said, we're going to draft the most intelligent wide receivers we can find because that's what's required for John Gruden's offense because of the decisions that have to be made at the top of routes and in the middle of routes while they're running it, the kind of stuff that Tim was talking about today. And I was thinking, too, at that time, like, no wonder Carr throws the ball on the ground so much because he doesn't have any rapport with these guys. I mean, he only had Zay for a year. He had nobody to throw to. And then, you know, we get. I think that what happened with Ruggs and Edwards and Arnett, for that matter, is going to, a couple years down the road, we're all going to be looking back on it the same way we did with our rock of a right tackle that I can't think of his name right now, who battled through injury his first year, and everything's going to be all right, and these guys are going to be awesome in this offense and one on defense for years to come. And that's, thank you for the time, brother.
Absolutely. Dana and Boca Raton right there. You're talking about Colton Miller, who's the left tackle right now. But I remember there was a lot of being and mowing when he was drafted, and I remember that was the draft in Arlington. A lot of people upset. I was upset myself. I thought Derwin James should be the guy. Well, we all know how that shook out. And, again, it's okay for us to be upset as fans, but sometimes the team knows a little bit more than we do. And we just sometimes I don't like to say trust because it's just it's such a – you don't want to just throw that word around, but you just – have to see what direction they go and what they decide to do. And I know that there was a lot of conversation about Alex Leatherwood this year when he was drafted, who's going to be the right tackle starting day one. And there was a lot of questions around him. Again, a lot of people have said, hey, the Colton Miller effect. You know, a lot of people didn't think Colton Miller was the guy. Boom, he got a contract extension. Just wait and see how it all shakes out. Real quick, let's go to Joe in L.A. You're on Raider Nation Radio 920. What's on your mind, dog?
Appreciate you taking my call. So, one of the two things that bothered me, and I'm sure you probably discussed this, so I tuned in a little bit late, you know, the fact that Kirby Wilson and Mark Bedain, respectively, decided to leave the organization a week prior to training camp kind of was a red flag to me. Maybe I shouldn't read too much into it. Well, when you stop and to consider the success Kirby Wilson had and the fact that we've brought in Kenyon Drake, it seems kind of odd that a week before training camp, he would leave. Second, with Mark Bedain, you know, I know he said all the nice things he needs to say, you know, in his statement. But when you also think about the fact that we also have a lot of big things coming up, the 22 draft,
yeah,
and potentially a Super Bowl in 2024, why would somebody want to leave the organization when he could be processing and planning these future potential events? And so for me, that's a huge red flag. And then when you also think about the fact that over that same weekend, Josh Jacobs cryptically, and I'm not going to quote him, but, you know, just summarizing what he said, that I know why he left, referring to Kirby Wilson. Now, on the brighter side of things, but I do want you to address that, is that when we have Damon Allen sign on to be a coach of staff, which we all know is Marcus Allen's brother, The first thing that popped in my mind was, could this be potentially a way to bring in Marcus Allen as a running back coach? And I wanted to get your take on both those two things.
Good stuff right there. It's Joe in L.A. Definitely appreciate the call. Appreciate the feedback and everything. And we will definitely get to that. We're gonna. I've written them down. I've written those thoughts and those questions down, and we'll get to those. But before we do that, I do want to get to our next guest, who's patiently waiting on the phone lines. Faven Kay, you know her from Fox 5 News in the morning. And Faven, we definitely appreciate your time. Thank you for your patience this afternoon. And as I'm new to the area, I know that you're not, and I know that you're a big fan of the Silver and Black. You're pumped up about this upcoming season, and this will be the first season that fans are at Allegiant Stadium. So, Faven, what are your thoughts when you think about the upcoming season of Raider football there at Allegiant Stadium?
I mean, there is so much excitement surrounding this upcoming season. Obviously, we had this same momentum last year, but unfortunately, when, you know, Mark Davis made the decision not to have fans in the stands, that was a huge disappointment to so many. But I mean, that's all anyone's talking about, and it's not just, you know, Raider fans, but I have friends from all over the country that, you know, the Raiders may not be their team, but guess what? The game that they're going to is right here in Vegas whenever their team plays Las Vegas. So it's just super exciting.
Yeah, and for you in particular, how exciting is it because the Raiders are your team? You're a big fan of the Silver and Black, and you're here. You're doing the news in the morning. You know, obviously Fox 5 is very well locked in with the Raiders as well. How much fun is this for you?
I can't even put into words how exciting it is. You know, I grew up in Oakland. I'm a lifelong Raiders fan. If you would have asked me 3-4 years ago if this would be the reality for me, I would have never imagined it. So being able to just be on top of everything that's happening with my favorite sports team is just amazing. And yes, Fox 5 is the official broadcast home of the Raiders. We're super proud and just super excited to be working with them on so many projects in the future.
Absolutely. We're talking right now with Faven Kay from Fox 5 News in the Morning. You can find her on Twitter if you're looking for her, at @Faven_Kay, and here on Raider Nation Radio 920. And as far as the team in general, next week is when training camp opens up. We're excited about that around here. The 27th, officially the players, they start to report to the facilities there in Henderson. Is there a certain player or a couple players that you're looking forward to seeing what they're going to do this year? Maybe a young guy or maybe someone who's a veteran that you think could really help this team get over the hump this year?
You know, I'm a big Derek Carr fan. He's a Bakersfield native, yep, like myself. So I'm always rooting for our QB. He's just the entire Carr family, not just what he does on the field, but he is, they have done so much for my hometown, his hometown. They're just a very philanthropic family with such great hearts that, you know, I want to see them win. I want to see him win. Derek Carr certainly deserves that. Obviously, Josh Jacobs is another one. He brought so much excitement last year. So I know he's been training hard during the off season. So we imagine that he will be doing amazing things. Darren Waller, also just a huge favorite. And it's just nice to see them, you know, not only being great on the field, but off the field, too. That, to me, is what makes it really a superstar athlete.
Yeah, you know, and I'm glad you said that, because I've only been in town for a couple of weeks now as I made the move from Texas here. And I'm so thrilled, similar to you, you know, growing up a Raider fan, just excited to be here and be a part of all this. But I've seen everything that they've done in the community, and I just think that that's huge. And we just had Tim Brown on, and he even said that's very un-Raider-like. You know, when they were in L.A. and Oakland, they weren't really doing that. But they are here now in the 702, and they are really just putting a stranglehold on the community, letting everyone know that they're here, and they're here to help the community. How big is that?
You know, it's so important. I think that what people that don't live here in the Valley think of Las Vegas, they think of the Las Vegas Strip, right?
Right.
Fun, what happens here stays here, all the craziness. But outside of the Strip, this is an amazing community with incredible giving hearts. And that's something that I think took me by surprise. I've lived here for about 2.5 years now, and this is such a giving community. And, you know, when you have a team like the Golden Knights that, I mean, they are the definition of Vegas strong, the Raiders have to step their game up when it comes to community involvement to be able to, you know, win over the natives here to kind of, so they can share their love for teams. Because this town right now is a Golden Knights town, period. So the Raiders really have to step up, give back, and just show the Valley that they are committed to bettering this community, not just playing football.
Right, exactly. No, it's very important. Everyone we've talked to a T, has said that, including the Raiders themselves. They've said, hey, this community is very, very important to us. And I'm like you. I think that that's so important. And with the Golden Knights, like you said, the success that they have, the Raiders, obviously, everyone's hoping for their successes. They went 8-8 last year, hoping for a better season and even a playoff berth this year. But, I mean, now, you know, the A's are talking about coming here. And again, you being from the area, you know that team very well. I mean, just how much have you in your time here seen this area, this community, this city just grow leaps and bounds?
You know, it's incredible. I think, my co-anchor, Dave Hall, he is born and bred Nevada. And, he covered sports for years before he moved to the anchor desk. And so every time we, you know, talk about major sports coming to Las Vegas, he just chuckles a bit because he says, you know, 5 years ago, we were like the ugly, bald-headed, red-headed stepchild of sports teams. Nobody wanted to touch Las Vegas, you know, because of sports gambling, obviously. So to now see all these teams that are, you know, clawing to be here in Las Vegas is incredible. And I think it's only going to make our city better, especially coming out of the pandemic. You know, our local economy suffered so much. So for me, I don't just think about, you know, the fun and the fans. It's about all the jobs that these teams are bringing and just really bringing more money to the city, because we were hurting for so, so long. And to be honest, we still are. We're on that road. We're getting better, but we still have some work to do. So more sports brings more revenue, and it's just going to make this city even better than it already is.
Yeah, we got to do it all together, too. And that's what we're attempting to do. We're trying to all, you know, like you said, be Vegas strong and try to get this community back up and thriving like it needs to be. And, you know, Faven, you mentioned Derek Carr earlier, and you mentioned, you know, him being a Bakersfield native. And, you know, when we were exchanging text messages earlier, you were like, hey, you got a 559 number. That's Fresno Cali. So we know all about the Valley, but I've seen, and I want to ask you, I've seen a mature Derek Carr. I've seen him over the past couple seasons mature more and more and more. And to the other day when he came out and said, hey, you know, I want to win one. I want to win a Super Bowl here. You know, this is my team. We're going to do this moving forward. He just seems to me like he's even taken another mature step and just a little bit more ownership of this team.
Absolutely. He certainly has been a great leader. If you, you know, talk to any of his teammates, from the ones I've spoken to, they have nothing but great things to say about him. I think moving to Las Vegas for Derek Carr and just really the entire Raiders organization is a fresh start. And he understands that there's a lot at stake here. And he just wants to make the team as the best that it can be. A few weeks ago, I know he said, hey, he is going to be a Raider for life. Mm-hmm. And if he's not a Raider, he won't be playing in the NFL. So that just speaks to his love for this team and his dedication to the organization.
Yeah, no, it really does. And again, I kind of feel like the last few seasons I've seen him mature and get a little bit more just not really. And you know, from being in a position that you're in, you can't please everyone. And I had to learn this on the radio. I always try to be nice to everybody and, you know, listen to everyone's opinions. But at some point, sometimes you just, in a respectful way, don't have to care. You just can't care. It seems like he's got that to him now where he respects everyone, but he doesn't really care. It doesn't really bother him as much as it might have bothered him maybe even a couple years ago.
Yeah, I think that he's put more emphasis and more energy towards strengthening the relationships within his teammates, more so than pleasing the fans and you know, pleasing the outsiders. Because at the end of the day, if the team does well, then everyone's happy. And that doesn't go for any sports team, right? When they're winning, everyone loves them, and when they're not, everyone hates them. So I know Derek Carr has a lot of naysayers, but, you know, I'm sticking with my hometown guy. It would be so nice to see them win a Super Bowl with him leading the team.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're talking right now with Faven K from Fox 5 News this morning, at Faven_K on Twitter. And before I let you go, I got to ask, because from a distance, I've always done my homework. I've always paid attention to what's going on, regardless of where I'm at. And I noticed last year that you did a bet. You had a nice little bet on the show. And I think it was the Chiefs game. I want to say it was the Chiefs game, and the Chiefs ultimately won, and you had to wear a Chiefs jersey on the set.
Oh, my God.
Are there going to be any bets like that in Faven's future this upcoming season?
Absolutely. My co-anchor, Dave, is a huge Chiefs fan. I mean, he is obviously, you know, a Las Vegas first, so he's just as excited about the Raiders. But he's a Chiefs fan, and I'm not. I'm a Raiders fan, so I anticipate when that game comes up, this is now a lifelong rivalry that the two of us will have. So let's pray that I do not have to put on a Chiefs jersey ever again, all right?
Yes, absolutely.
It hurt my heart, Q.
I bet it did. Well, I'll tell you this. I'll double down for you. I don't know exactly how we'll do it, but we'll make something work here at the radio station as well. We'll have some kind of, like, tag team bet. Whenever you guys make that bet, you let me know, and we'll include the radio station somehow, some way, so we all get in on the fun.
Sounds good. I hope I don't need it, but I just might. So sounds good.
I know that's right. Well, Faven, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Enjoy the week. I'm sure you'll enjoy the game on Saturday, the battle for Vegas, Team Marcus Allen against Team Riley Smith. And we'll talk to you soon. We'll see you soon. And thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you, Q. And just remember, just win, baby. Let's do this, Raider Nation.
There it is right there. Thank you so much. Great stuff. Faven K right there from Fox 5 News this morning. Big time Raider fan, and you can check her out on Fox 5, like I mentioned, the official partner of the Raiders. So a shout out to her for joining us right there in that segment. Good stuff. Great guests on today's show, from Faven to Tim Brown to Mick Akers. All a lot of really good stuff. The time is 5:41. When we come back, we'll take some more of your calls, 702-365-9200, plus your text messages on the Sam and Ash text line. You can hit that up, 69187. The keyword is R&R. And of course, hit up salmonash.com, because you deserve what's right. This is Raider Nation Radio 920.
You're listening to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Now, back to your host, Vinny Bonsignor.
We ain't going nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
We ain't going nowhere.
A man close to my heart right there, Damon Cotton, on the wheels of steel here on Raider Nation Radio 920. In the huddle, your boy Q holding it down. for my guy Vinny Bonsignore, who will be back on Monday. And just to let you know why he's playing that Bad Boys for Life. After, this is how I am. Again, I like to pull the curtain back, and you'll hear a lot of stories from me throughout the course of, well, the next bazillion years that I'll be on the radio here in Vegas. Because believe me, we ain't going nowhere. Can't be stopped.
Is Bad Boy for Life.
Exactly. That's the key. So, I'm a big Bad Boy fan back in the day. 90s, early 2000s, Bad Boys. Diddy's my guy. I actually have a tattoo when my son, Little Q, was born. We called him the Remix. And so that was the thing, because I was a hip-hop DJ, and so Diddy was my guy. So when he was born, it was like, hey, this is the Remix. You know, that was the going joke. So I got his name, and then I got the Bad Boy symbol. So after we hung up with Faven, I was excited because I think our show has been outstanding today between the callers and the guests. It's been a fun show, and it's a fun show every day. But I get so excited that I just did a big old fist bump. And Damon's never seen me do that or never seen me yell, like, let's go, which is something I do, too. And people in the hallway are going to have to get used to me doing that. They probably think that I'm upset at something. I'm not. I'm animated. I'm fired up. I'm passionate about this. I love this. So he said, man, you reminded me of Diddy. You know, what can't I do? And I was like, man, that's my guy. That's exactly what I was thinking when I did that. What can't I do? What can't we do? What can't this radio station do? You know what I mean? Like, that's just me. Just have to get used to that, Damon. I bet you Damon goes home and is like, man, this dude's got problems, man.
Oh, man, this dude's too fired up, man. I mean, he like Marcus Allen, Tim Brown. What can't I do?
I mean, I'm just saying, Raider Nation deserves the best, right? And if I'm holding it down for Vinny, I got to do the best I can. Because he's got the inside scoop. So I got a lot of work to do.
You bringing it.
Well, no, I just got to hold it down. Because, I mean, if Vinny comes back and be like, Q, you just killed my show. Like, nobody, you know, you turn everybody off. Nobody wants to listen anymore. So I can't do that. I got to make sure I do the best I can. So I'm trying to raise the bar. But I did want to get back to Joe in L.A.'s call. He called right before we talked to Faven. And like I mentioned, a lot of great interaction today. Raider Nation listener line, 702-365-9200. And, of course, the Salmon Ash text line. And I do have a couple text messages that I'll get to before the show ends at 69187, keyword R&R, salmonash.com, because you deserve what's best. Joe in L.A. asked about Bedain stepping down. Kirby Wilson, running back coach, stepping down. Marcus Allen's brother Damon coming in to work with the Raiders for about a month. Could you kind of tie that all together like some shoestrings? You know, could you lace it up like that? And could you make it all make sense where it all is tied together and it all makes a lot of sense? And as much as I could sit there and put some tinfoil on my head and say, yeah, I see where you're going with that. Honestly, and I don't like to do too big of a deep dive, I know that the timing of Bedain stepping down, really, really strange. Right before training camp, Joe in L.A. mentioned the fact that, hey, the draft is right around the corner. It's going to be here in Vegas. The Super Bowl is going to be here in Vegas. Those are some big deals. And when I talked to Mark Bedain at Allegiant Stadium, he said, we got 17 things going on, 17 things in 16 weeks. Or what? You know what I mean? Like, we got a lot coming down the pipeline that he was looking forward to and he was talking about looking forward to. And then yesterday, all of a sudden, abruptly, we find out that he, you know, stepped down. So I agree 100%, Joe, the timing, strange. But I could tell you, I don't think that he stepped down because at some point Marcus Allen's going to become the running back coach there with the Raiders. Because honestly, I don't know this for a fact, but my spidey sense, my gut feeling, and from what I've heard is that the Raiders were caught off guard by him stepping down too. It wasn't that, you know, they were like, all right, Mark, you did your due diligence with the stadium. All right, thanks for everything. Thanks for 30 years. You're out. That wasn't how it shook out. I really believe Mark Davis wanted to keep Mark Bedain. And I think Mark Bedain himself made the decision, it's time for me to go in another direction. I got something else in the pressure cooker. Me personally, and Raider Nation, you'll get used to this, my gut feeling tells me he has something in the pressure cooker that's big. Big. You know what I mean? Like, because I don't think you just walk away from the president of the Raiders for something that's not big. You know what I mean? Just my gut feeling. As far as Marcus Allen and his brother working, his brother's working with the diversity, you know, a part of the NFL, and he's going to be working with the Raiders for a month. I don't think that that's going to probably go any further than that, but you never know.
Yeah, that one to me, that's a stretch, Joe, in L.A., where it's like, I see what you could think. I mean, like, hey, Marcus,
once a Raider, always a Raider, so it makes sense.
But my thing about the Hall of Famers, like the all-time greats, I don't think that they just want to be coaches like that. It's great being Marcus Allen as is. And to be the running backs coach, I'm not saying it's a bad job at all, but I think that's why Magic Johnson, when he had that stint with the Lakers, where it's just like, how can you not see the game the way I see the game, me being at an all-time great level, that it's hard to teach what you know
right.
when you're just gifted to be like that right. all-time great level talent.
You know, and that's something I've said multiple times. The Raiders at one point, you know, lost their secondary coach, and everyone said, oh, let Charles Woodson do that. And look, this is the deal. Just because you're a Hall of Famer player doesn't mean you're a Hall of Fame coach. Coaching is a different animal, because guys like that are great, like Tim Brown, he is a great and was a great wide receiver. That's why he's got a gold jacket. Doesn't necessarily mean that he'd go out there and be a great coach, because he might go out there and say, hey, do it like this. This is how you're supposed to do it. And if someone doesn't pick it up right away, remember, this is a Hall of Famer talking to someone who's just getting into the league. It's kind of like me or anyone, like JT being a radio vet that he is, all of a sudden trying to teach you to be as smooth as JT on the air, and then all of a sudden it's like, damn it, DeMond, how come you don't understand? Well, JT, I haven't done it my whole life. This is new to me. You know what I mean? So sometimes when you're great at what you do, you're not really the best teacher because it's so hard to pick up. That's why a lot of times you look at head coaches, where do they come from? Smaller schools. They were quarterbacks for a quick second. They were in the league for a quick second. I mean, not everyone, but some. And some that are all-time greats get into coaching, and they're not as successful as others. I'll say Mike Singletary. I respect the hell out of Mike Singletary. Love me some Mike Singletary. But we saw what happened when he went to the 49ers. He was just okay as a coach. And then since then, he was just, you know, and look, again, got ton of respect for Singletary. All-time great. Doesn't mean he's a great coach. And vice versa. You can get, I mean, just look at some of the coaches across the league. Look, I mean, John Gruden came from Dayton. No disrespect. He's
not
a great,
wrong at all. Like,
great teacher. Great teacher. Well, some people are better teachers.
Like, I'm trying to think of, like, coaches in the league now that are former players. I think Cliff Kingsbury was a backup for a while. But it's like,
right.
it's like people who have to pay their dues.
Right.
Who are just going to, like, study and grind and grind.
Right.
Because, like you said, it could be easy Tim Brown or just, like, he could just say, man, I just go out there and do stuff.
Right. I mean, and think about this. You know, we talk about Rich Gannon all the time. And you know, we've had the conversation of could he come back and be a coach on the Raiders staff. I think he'd be a damn good coach. Because he was never a superstar. He was never someone where the game just came so easy to him. He just went out there and did it. You know, like a guy like Randy Moss. And I know that's like a bad word to Raider Nation. I get it. It's a bad word to me. Every time I see him on TV, I'm like, I like him on TV, but I just don't like those Randy Moss years. You know what I mean? Like, that's personal to me. But still, he's an HOFer. He's a Hall of Famer. No disrespect. I don't think it's as easy for him to go out there and teach someone how to be a wide receiver because he's a different dude.
You know what? Like, basketball-wise, like, I just want to like that parallel. You remember that block that Giannis had in Game 5 where
yeah.
it was like, how did he block Ayton at the rim?
Yeah.
Giannis can't teach someone how to like
at
have
all.
That instinct.
Nope.
And it's like, this is how I'm going to make this block with
nope.
a minute left in the game.
Right.
That's like those Hall of Famers. They can just do those things.
You either got
it. They have those gifts.
Or you don't.
And you could just look at someone else and be like, I just don't understand how you can't do it.
Right, exactly. Exactly. That's how it goes. Someone that is just over the top great can't necessarily teach, and they could, but it's very difficult to teach someone to have natural God gift ability like they have, you know, and then so it could be frustrating. So I guess that's a roundabout way, Joe, and I do appreciate your patience on me answering the question. I guess that's my way of saying I don't think that there's anything. No funny business. Now, as far as Bedane stepping down and what he does next, we'll find out at some point. We'll find out what he's got in the pressure cooker. We'll find out if he's got anything in the pressure cooker. And at some point, it'll all roll out. Like I said yesterday when the news broke, I'm not in the speculation business. I'm not the guy who's going to sit there and say, oh, there's bad times in the facility. Oh, man, the front office don't get along. I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy. You can have national media for that. I'm the guy that's going to speak on what I know. And speak on what my gut tells me. And I'll always keep it 100 with you. If I know something for a fact, and I'll tell you. If I don't know, I'll tell you straight up, Joe, I don't know. And I think that's the only way to show you a little bit of respect and be real with you. So thank you so much for that. Appreciate all the feedback today on the Raider Nation listener line. It's the 702-365-9200. Make sure you tune in tomorrow morning. Clay is going to get you up 7 a.m., 10 a.m. Clay and Pritch. JT the Brick will be back, and then I'll hold it down for Vinny in the huddle right here on Raider Nation Radio 920.
Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.